Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. We're taking a little mid-swing detour with leadership and deacons. I had two more lessons, but I think what I'm going to do is finish those up and just give them to you as handouts to take home and move on to something else. It's more of a recap and going over some highlights that you'll need as we pray about and consider deacons coming up. But Matthew chapter 17, we'll talk a little bit about faith. And here in our story, Matthew 17 and verse 14, God used failure to teach faith. And so do we learn from our failures? Do we learn from our mistakes? You know, how would you categorize your faith today? So we're going to talk a little bit about faith. We're going to talk a little bit about fasting. I only have 3 points in the story, and then we'll go right into our business meeting. I just want to be a blessing to you tonight. Matthew chapter 17, and let's begin reading in verse number 14. Matthew 17 and verse number 14. And when they were coming to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I besought to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Pretty strong language is for those who follow you, isn't it? But sometimes plain talk and plain preaching is what is needed. Bring him hither to me. Verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? In verse 20, Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Concerned about failure here in our story to expel the demon from the young boy, disciples come to Christ for an answer, for an explanation for their failure. And I'm going to hit a little bit about prayer and fasting tonight, not a whole lot, but I do want to challenge you in that area. This is not my point tonight, but please notice that they did go to the right source, Jesus. Amen? He is the answer to all of our problems. They might not could have figured it out. They did not know where to go. The Father wasn't no sure what to do. The disciples wasn't able to do it, but they knew where to go for the answer. Jesus is the answer to all of our problems. You cannot have too much of him. You can't. I love my granddaughters, I'm just going to be honest, but I can have too much of them in one day because they just flat out wear me out. Yeah, you and your sisters. But you can never have too much of Jesus. Now back to our story. Christ answered their question and instructed them about their need. So notice with me tonight three things about the condition of their faith. Three things about the condition of the disciples' faith. Number one, their faith was in poverty. Their faith was in poverty. The Bible says in verse 19 and in verse 20, Why could not we cast him out? And the Lord answers, Because of your unbelief. Dear friends, the root cause was deficiency of faith. Not my words, these are our Lord's words. Without faith, we will not go very far spiritually. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, the Bible says. The world, as well as weak, carnal Christians, at times ridicule faith in God and his word, and they doubt it. However, their ridicule only exposes their ignorance and their unbelief. Yes, many Christians, like the disciples, have an impoverished faith. They have a faith that is lacking. They had a faith that is not taken serious. They have a faith, let me give you an example. Be honest with me. If you're on the phone with somebody, and right before they hang up, they say, I love you, what do you say in return? How many times do you do it without even thinking? Yeah, quite often. So does it take away the real meaning of it? Or is it really meant? When we aspect, we think about our faith. Is it just a word that we use? Or is it something that we actually practice and put into practice? See, real faith cannot coexist with unbelief, with doubt, with fear, with backbiting, with tongue wagging, with gossip, complaining, and the list goes on and on. step away from being a carnal Christian and be a Christian of great faith. And that's exactly what our Lord was saying here, the disciples. It's because of your unbelief, because of your lack of faith. Your faith is in poverty. Now, I remember some years ago on the mission field visiting a gypsy village, and someone mentioned to me tonight about sometimes about how some of these reservations that we go on, they're in dire poverty. And I can remember, and I still have pictures on my cell phone of a gypsy village that I went to, all the windows out with blankets over them, no door on the front door, a mud house with a tin roof, and very little, and even some places where they would dispose of some of the good things and comforts of the home and sell to get something else and just light a fire in their living room. They lived under poverty conditions. And many of us know that. I would say my mother grew up in the conditions of poverty. We recognize that. But let me ask you, do you recognize your own poverty in your faith? How's your faith? How strong is your faith? How do you practice your faith? How do you use your faith in prayer, not just for self, but of others? Number two, not only their faith was in poverty, but their faith was deficient in power. It was deficient in power because of their poverty. Notice verse 20 again of Matthew 17. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. See, faith is so powerful that if you only have a small bit, which is what the small mustard seed portrays here in this passage of Scripture, you can still do great things. Our small achievements reveal our great deficiency of faith. Oftentimes I've told stories and I've done my best to try to teach our children and now our grandchildren to ask and pray for big things. Ask God to provide. I mean, to see children pray for things, to be challenged to pray for things, and then God provide it down the road and their face lights up and to get so excited, God only heard, he answered my prayer. And now sometimes it's wait, sometimes it's no, but sometimes it's fulfilled in miraculous ways. Let me tell you a story that I read. A story is told of a small church that inherited some land, which they used to buy a new sanctuary. But just 10 days before their dedication service, the building inspector came by and told the pastor the parking lot wasn't big enough and the building would not pass inspection. And now with 10 days left to their big opening, they could not use their building. Now the lot backed right up that they owned in the church building to a mountain. And the church had used up every inch of land for parking. So there was no way that they could add additional parking space. With this in mind, the pastor called together his most faithful prayer warriors and asked them to pray that God would move the mountain so they could build more parking spaces before their dedication service. The next morning, the pastor was working in a study when he heard a knock at the door, and a heavy-set gentleman walked in and said, "Excuse me, Pastor, I'm from the Acme Construction Company, and we're in immediate need of field dirt for a new shopping mall that we're building. Understand where I'm going? Would you sell us a chunk of that mountain behind the church? We'll gladly pave the exposed area free of charge." Faith that moves mountains? Let me ask. If there's a great need in the church, would you be one that I go to ask you to pray? If you had a family member, a friend, or concerned that had a great need, who would you go to pray? Would they contact you and ask you? The disciples at this time, in particular, the Lord says their faith was in poverty, but their faith was deficient of power. Do we have power behind our prayers and power within our faith? Now, this story may not be true. I'll be honest, I don't know. I cannot verify it. But it sure illustrates a wonderful point. It illustrates the importance of praying in faith, even when the desired results may seem impossible. So whether you are praying about your health, your finances, your family, remember that God has the power to move mountains and can overcome any challenge or obstacle that we face. Again, if Harvest Baptist Church was in great need of some prayer warriors that could really rattle the chambers of heaven, great faith, would you be called to pray? Is your faith deficient of power? Is your faith in poverty, or do you have great faith? Number three, not only the faith was in poverty, the faith was deficient in power, but their faith was not in practice. In other words, they weren't using or exercising their faith. Matthew 17, verse 21. It says, the Lord says, this kind of faith, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. When's the last time you fasted for something? When's the last time you asked the Lord to, just really begged the Lord, latched hold where you just did not want to let go until you had peace? See, if we have faith, we will be ready to pray and ready to fast. We will exercise our faith. If we are, our prayer life is lacking, it reveals our lack of faith. And is fasting, if our fasting is lacking, we are lacking in faith. What is it that we're... Now, fasting doesn't mean not eating necessarily. It goes beyond that. Fasting generally pertains to going without food at certain times, but the principle in fasting is that we go without something that is pleasurable and even considered physically necessary in order to better serve the Lord or to grow in the Lord. It doesn't necessarily have to be food. Faith does not hesitate to go without fleshly needs. The sad part about it, so many Christians that are carnal are not willing to give up something to get an answer to prayer. I mean, amen or oh me, what are we willing to give up? Are we willing to turn off the TV? Willing to say, Lord, I'll go without TV for a week. Lord, I'll go without bread. Lord, I'll go, oh boy, here's a hard one. I'll go without coffee. I'll put up with a headache. Lord, I really need this. Let me go beyond that. Lord, my brother, my sister needs this. Lord, please do something. Lord, if you won't heal, if you won't intervene in this, Father, give them grace that is needed to go through it. What are we willing to sacrifice? Now, it's easy to make a great sacrifice if it's our spouse, if it's our children, our grandchildren. But what about for another believer? What about for someone else? Here, this poor father was in dire need, concern. He throws himself in the fire, sometimes in the water. Your disciples tried to cast them out, but they failed. Lord, would you help? And what are we willing to give up? Is our faith, is our prayer life in dire poverty? Is it deficient of power? Is it not even used or practiced enough? In other words, is it praying maybe two or three times a day over a meal? Maybe praying through the week with our prayer list that we have tonight? Or is there a time of intercessory prayer where we really latch on? Remember the gentleman that latched on and would not let loose until God surrendered or gave in or gave an answer? He walked with a limp for the good part of the rest of his life. What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to sacrifice? What are we willing to do to hear from heaven? Again, faith does not hesitate to go without fleshly needs. Real faith, Christians that aren't carnal, are willing to give up things, are willing to look over things, willing to be gracious, willing to do what is needed on the behalf of someone else, that intercessory prayer. I'll close with a prayer challenge tonight. Christianity has enough carnal and anemic Christians. Harvest Baptist Church of Goodyear needs you, your faith, and your faith-filled prayer life to be in gear on a daily basis, to be practiced regularly like clockwork. More importantly, your faith, your neighbors, and your community need you to have faith and a faithful prayer life. Would you pray and ask God to give you an unwavering, growing faith that He can do all things, and then believe He'll do it? Remember what I think I said a few weeks ago? Why pray for rain unless you're willing to leave a house with the umbrella? Do we have faith to believe? Here, without a doubt, we see this in our story, how God stepped in and done something they could not. So once again, their faith was in poverty, their faith was deficient of power, and their faith was not practiced. Let's see what we can do. And not just have prayer meeting. They used to call Wednesday night Bible study prayer meeting. Some folks still do. They call it midweek service. But let me challenge you. In fact, before you leave tonight, I'm going to give you a few specifics. You have your own prayer list. But before you leave tonight, why not go to a chair or to a row and say, Lord, fill it. Lord, help me to invite people. Help me to talk to people. Help me do that. Father, bless our services. Any negative thoughts, any carnality, any ill will toward others, any situation going on in our church, may it be dissipated, may it go away, may we have the unity that we need, and Lord, start with me. Show me that I might pray without any walls, I might pray without any barriers, and Lord, if there's something in my life that I need to put aside to show my sincerity, Lord, show what it is. I'll ask this and we'll have a word of prayer. Once again, have you ever fasted biblically? Have you ever gave up food for a week or 2 weeks? Have you ever gave up something in particular in your life that is important to you, that have access to, that, or something that you enjoy, and say, Lord, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to put it aside for a week. I'm going to put it aside for 10 days. I'm going to put it aside for 2 weeks. I'm going to put it aside for 30 days, and I'm going to pray and beseech you, intercessor, on the behalf of my brother, my sister, or whoever it may be, and say, Lord, please provide an answer. If it be your will to heal, if it be not be your will, then give grace. If it be your will to intervene, if it be your will to do whatever the case may be, and then get up after you pray with faith believing and go about your day and do it again the next day. And say, Lord, I want to see something. I want to see greatness. I want to see your greatness in my community, in our church, in our classes, in our children's ministry, in our adult class, in our ladies' class. I want to see greatness in that, and that it's so great that everyone knows it had to be of God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And thank you for your goodness, Father, and help us as a people, collectively and individually, to beseech you and say, Lord, what is it in my life that I need to put aside to show my sincerity in a life of prayer and beseeching you, Father? There may be some in this room that really just needs to have a prayer life. Lord, I don't mean to be ugly or critical, but Lord, Christians should pray. They should pray earnestly, not just for self and not just for family, but for others, and help us to build a prayer life that is strong, that is not impoverished. Lord, that is consistent. Lord, that is recognized by others because of answered prayer. But most of all, that it honors you and it moves the hand of God to work. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen.